Today's reading is from the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joseph, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
From gloomy to glorious. Oh my goodness, gloomy, gloomy. Have you ever been gloomy? You know, what's your perspective on the church's future? Because sometimes I think that our perspective on the church's future is not very good. I think that we get caught up in, oh, the church is woeful, it's not going that well, church numbers are declining, there's not enough new ministers coming through, and those that are coming through don't actually want to be ministers in a parish or in a pulpit anymore. Changing your perspective can help you stop automatic negative thoughts and negative situations and give you a much more balanced outlook. It also gives you the chance to empty out your biases, because I think we all have them, and to develop a growth mindset and even reinvent yourself as a more positive person and a more positive person for Christ himself and his church. A new perspective, brothers and sisters, helps us to understand situations from other positions and to consider other beliefs, experiences, and viewpoints of God that fold into our lives and can bless us. And this then gives us a better understanding and a greater responsiveness to what the needs of the gospel are in our own communities. It reduces bias, judgment, and conflicting ideas, and it also brings unity and an ability to see the future as positive again, as God's great kingdom, not as our own little castles called denominations. So, how do I get all this to start when we look at Haggai? Well, who is the guy? Haggai is a prophet who returned under Babylon's rule to Jerusalem, part of what was the southern kingdom. Now, the people had stopped rebuilding the temple due to the Samaritans, or the old northern kingdom people. So the northern kingdom people have returned, and they're actually putting the kibosh on this whole building of the temple because they wanted to worship on the mountain. Yeah, that's the Samaritans were renowned for worshipping on the mountain, and the southern kingdom, the people of Judah, so Israel up the top, Judah down the bottom, the people of Judah, the southern kingdom, they wanted to worship in the temple, and they built their temple, but they're now disheartened because they're trying to build it. And Haggai helps them wake from their lethargy and slumber and finish the temple, which brought with it a renewal of the people and the nation. It brought with it a renewal of the people and the nation. Okay, so this is a really important part of it. The building is significant to an extent, but really not, just like our churches today. But it's important to see that there's a renewal of people and our nation that can happen through each one of our churches. The people were filled with gloom because progress was slow, it was limited, they needed a different perspective. They didn't see the whole picture, and they were walking in a dark, shadowy place. And so Haggai comes into this place and their negative mindset, and he knows that their negative mindset has led to a lowness of spirit, a feeling of dejection, and an atmosphere of just despondency. You see, the nation's oppressed. They're being permitted to go back, but it's not the same place anymore. The gloom of the people was brought on because they were disappointed in the appearance of the new temple, and it wasn't turning out the way they wanted at all. So much was lacking, and yet God promises glory. God had promised glory to this place. The people must perk up. The people of Judah must embrace the idea that brighter days ahead. This Jewish nation must rise up and perk up. Their efforts and their work was fine, but God alone could fill this house with glory. They can't fill glory in my church that I'm at every Sunday. It's not about what I do that makes it glorious. It's not about what anyone does in the church that makes it glorious. It is God filling his temple with glory. The glory of God's house is his presence, in there. And I know God is in the temple all the week. But you know, there's this exciting buzz that people come expectantly to be touched by God, to be moved by God, to be uplifted by his people and by his word and by prayers, by singing of the songs. Many may marvel at a building. And they might be impressed by me as a preacher and the band. But I've got to tell you, their lives are only changed by the glory of God. No one's lives changed because of me. No one's changed because the band played something in the key of G instead of the key of E. You know, that's not what it's about. A building could be a very pretty building, but your life's not changed because of a pretty building. It's changed because of the presence of God. It's changed because the glory of God has come upon it. God chooses to use the prophet Haggai to encourage Zerubbabel and Joshua and the people to be strong and work for two good reasons. Firstly, God is with them. My promises and my covenant are sure now as they were from the very beginning, tells God to them. And secondly, I will fill my house with glory. I will fill this temple with my presence. You know, you're concerned about the outer beauty, says God, but I'm only concerned with glory. I'm concerned with what the inner face is going to be filled with. There's some lessons that we can get from this about the temple being rebuilt. Firstly, the church has a glorious future. Whether it was the church then or the church now, it has a glorious future. There will be glory after this. I'm telling you now that if you sit there and look around and go, but Nick, the statistics, according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, church attendance is in decline. And good on you. You go drink that Kool-Aid. You go drink the Kool-Aid that says, let's be negative. Because if the church focuses on itself and its building, its programs and its good name, then it will fail. I guarantee it. It will fail. I actually think that's one of the biggest failures of the church over the past 50 years almost, is it's been so much focused on its good name and its programs that it actually hasn't been focused enough on God and his good works. It will fail as everything is meant to be about God in the church, not about us upholding God's good name of the church. Who cares what denominational name you have out the front of your building? It's good for a structure of accountability. Don't get me wrong. It is good for that. But as for upholding and protecting the good name of my denomination, if it's done something wrong, it'll wear it. It has to. You know, my church, the church I'm part of, the church that God wants us all to be part of, it's about people connecting to him and his glory shining into their communities, time and time and time again. The second thing you need to know is the Lord God himself will glorify the church. We're called to be equipped to only do what God wants us to do, okay? Only do what God wants us to do, not try and overproduce stuff for God. That's unhelpful. God will glorify the church, not we will glorify the church. God does not need you or me making up extra things of what need doing in the church. If we can just stay faithful, if we can just stay faithful to his call, he will glorify us and his church in ways we have and never will expect. Because that's what he does. Do you know, folks, I could name a few extra gifts and talents I would love to see in my pews every week here at Mount Cola. But God has, and I can guarantee you this, God has the right people at the right time, in the right place, with the right gifts to do his goodwill at this time. And as much as we want to go and manufacture some new people with new gifts and say, here it is, we've got it, God's going, hold on, I've got the right people at the right time in the right place to do my goodwill in this place so that my glory will shine through into the community. So just be comfortable with that. My brothers and sisters, God has equipped us and wants us to keep focused on Him and His plans, not on what time frames or limitations we can drag into that picture. Oh, but Nick, we need to have a 5-year plan that says that we'll do this, this, and... Really? It's good to be focused, but where does God want us? He wants us to focus on the destination we have. He wants us to focus on the hope. You know, when I first arrived here 10 years ago, they gave me a 5-year plan and said, this is our 5-year plan. I looked at it. 12 months later, we looked at it. I think it was about 13 items or 14 items to be done. And all but one of them had already been achieved. Why? Because we were focusing on where the destination was. We weren't focusing on making sure the time frame was exactly right. God will do His good stuff in His good time with the right people in the right place at the right time. The temple has lost nothing of lasting value. This is the third thing you need to remember. The temple, God's temples, have lost nothing of lasting value. There is a shaking that will come to reposition us. There has been shakings that have taken place. Whether you look at the Reformation, the Great Schism, other times, there's been some great shakings. The Charismatic Renewal and Revival, Azusa Street, things like that. There has been great shakings that have come. The Vatican II was a great shaking in the church. Brothers and sisters, there is a great shaking that will come, but do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. God has not left us or forsaken us. He will not ever do that. No, He is working in and through us for His good plans to bless the community that surrounds us. Our faith in God is in God and not in a building. It's not in candles. It's not in brass fittings. No. And do you know what? Haggai wants the people to know this as well. Haggai wants them to know that, okay, so this isn't going to look as glorious and smooth as the last one. But it's not about that. Because our faith is in God, who will be filling the place, not in the brass and the candles and the outside look of the church. The fourth thing we need to remember about this rebuilding is the church's responsibility is to be strong and work. Yeah, I know there's some of you who are going, but Nick, I'm about 80. So? How old was Abraham and Sarah when they had to have birth, give birth to another child? Poof! Yeah, giddy up on that one, see how it goes. How old was Noah when he built an ark? He was pretty old, I think, too. Haggai encourages them to be strong and focused on the task at hand. That's right, just at the task at hand, be strong and focused on that. The people were discouraged as it was taking too long, and they were focusing on other things. They weren't just focusing on the temple being rebuilt. They wanted to be years in front of where the temple was rebuilt. No, he's saying just focus on the task at hand. See, everyone has skills of use in the building of and the building up of God's house. Everyone does. And none have expired. So if you're attending church at my church, if you're attending, whether it's just my online church here, whether you're attending your own church, yeah, none of your gifts and talents, none of them, none of the skills that God's given you in life have expired. Until you expire, they haven't expired. Some may need to be dusted off, though, I've got to say. I've got to be honest, some will need to be dusted off because some of you haven't exercised some of your gifts and talents for a while. You're going to have some sore spiritual muscles because you're going to have to get out there and do some heavy lifting, maybe. Who knows? It's about what God calls you to do. Now, God calls for His church to be focused on the assignment. Our assignment includes going into all the world and making disciples of all people, teaching them to observe all that Christ has taught us. And we can be encouraged because this new generation are not mesmerized by the past. No, they don't remember the glorious history of the church. They're excited about now. They don't remember the picnics of 1964 when we had 600 people who came to the Sunday school picnic. They don't remember that. They don't want to remember that. They don't want to remember the glorious days where ministers flounced around in robes every week. And here we are looking like we're medieval priests. Good on you. The glorious days when we had 7 ministers at this church. They're not interested in it. They're not interested. They're excited about now and being connected. You know, we must help the new generation find God and experience God in their lives today. The present generation is not impressed with our buildings, our steeples, our rituals, and our bells. They want to see the glory of God. They want to feel God's presence. That's it. So if all you're doing is sitting there trying to make your steeple look more shiny and buff than clean, all you're going to attract, lightning. And if you don't believe me, ring up Tararamurra Uniting Church. I think their one got blown off the top of their church about 30 years ago. It was a nice shiny one as well. Folks, do not even think denominations really matter to the young people, because they don't. Young people just want to go where they can be led, fed, and not bled. They can be led, they can feel that there's leadership in the church that leads them to a loving relationship with God and an empowered relationship with God. They can be fed, the word's going to be given to them. They're going to be empowered in using their gifts and talents, so they're led, they're fed, and they're not going to be bled. And when I say not bled, if someone's not gifted to be doing a kids ministry, don't put them into kids ministry. If somebody can't even hear the difference between A and C on a piano, then don't make them singers, because they're probably not gifted. And you'll just bleed them and you'll bleed the church. The young of today want to go where they can be led, fed, and not bled. The glory of this second temple shall exceed the former, not in riches or costly ornaments, but there the Prince of Peace shall make his appearance, and the gospel of peace shall be preached and published. We need to be proclaiming the good news that the Prince of Peace has come, offering forgiveness, salvation, and redemption. God himself is offering reconciliation. The Prince of Peace, the one that we connect with, Jesus, gives us peace between us and God. That's it. The formal temple required a sacrifice, and many were rejected. In Christ, the sacrifice has been paid and all are accepted. Come to him and live. Be strong and work. It is important work, necessary and critical. All may not believe, yet some will. So be strong and work, because God is counting on all of us. He's gifted us and he's counting that we'll use our gifts. If we do, God says, you know what's going to happen? The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. So what's to come is going to be greater than anything in the past. So the 1962 picnic with 600 people? Bah humbug! This place will be filled to overflowing in other ways, and the glory of God will be shining all around. Haggai points to a greater tomorrow. The early church in Acts, in the book of Acts, the early church was only the beginning, and the church continues through to today. Now, when God finishes his house and matures his church, it will have a greater glory than the early church. Okay, the early church of Acts. Now, God is ready to use his church today to call home the lost, the broken, and more. I'm telling you, he's ready. But is the church ready to be used in such a beautiful way, such a privileged way? Amen. Such a privileged way. In John 14:12, this is what it says in John 14:12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, says Jesus, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it, says Jesus. Such powerful words. Such powerful words. These words are hitting me. You know, we haven't seen the finished product yet. Christendom is much larger today, oh yes, than it was in Acts. But it's not how large it is that makes the difference. It's not how large our churches are either. It's how much God's presence is filling our churches, but also filling our communities, that matters. The glory of the Lord filling people in this community is what makes the difference. The glory of the Lord filling people in our community is what makes the difference. God reconciled to humanity. This is what challenges me about this sermon. We don't find any, I think. I was going to say many. Many churches out in the church world today that are even moving in a small amount of what the early church did. So far, it seems that the early church still has more glory than the church of today. Nevertheless, the prophecy is still going to be fulfilled. So, what are you going to do with Jesus? are you going to do with Jesus? You're just going to keep him nice and sanitized sitting on the shelf? Or are you going to go, come Lord, fill me. Prince of Peace, come. Help me make peace with God, because there must be areas I'm holding back on. There could be areas I'm holding back on. There's areas where sin's interfering. Come, Prince of Peace. You know, brothers and sisters, I've said time and time again, Christianity is a counterculture. It is the best of the best, offering life in abundance, hope for tomorrow, and a purpose and a plan restored into our lives. Yet, do you know what? Here's what the biggest problem of the church is. We yardstick ourselves with society and not with the early church. When we gauge what our church is like today, we yardstick it with society, a broken, sinful, godless group. That's our yardstick, and we say, we're better than that. But if we were to yardstick ourselves against the early church in the book of Acts, the church in Corinth that went from woeful to glorious, church in Colossae, church in Ephesians, church in Galatia. Folks, we may be better than society, but folks, we have some challenges facing our westernized church today, and we have communities where people need peace with God. Where people need peace with God. You know what's peace? The Bible says that the word for peace is shalom, right? Shalom. It's an absence of strife. There's a in the essence of it is a well-being, a welfare, a completeness, a wholeness, a harmony, a fulfillment. It's safety, good relationships, and prosperity of relationship together. Implicit in shalom is the idea of an unimpaired relationship between us and others. Peace between us and God? An unimpaired relationship between us and God. Made possible through Jesus Christ. Verse 20, it says this, the word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. God is going to come and shake the world again. He's shaking the world in different places today. He's shaking the church, brothers and sisters. He's shaking those that have built their churches on man-made ideals and values in the good name of a denomination, in the good name of people who've worshipped. He's shaking it. And the young of today are seeing the church being shaken. I sometimes find that when God shakes up our past or up our lives, others feel the earth tremor as well around us. None of us can change one moment of the past, but we can change how we live and engage tomorrow. And that is what God is wanting to do. He sometimes needs to shake the church so that we have to live in a new tomorrow. So, do you want peace into tomorrow? Because there's a secret to this. If you want peace, if you want the world, those around you, your brothers and sisters, to have a peace in tomorrow, if that's what you're after in your Christian walk, or if you're not a Christian yet and you want to be a Christian and you want to have some peace with God, then this is the service. This today is the day. Just reach out to God and say to him, God, I need you now. Come into my life. May I have peace with you. May I have peace, Lord Jesus. God, may you send your Holy Spirit upon me to fill me and empower me, that I would be your person, your servant working in this community. But if you're already a Christian, you go, I want my society, I want my community to have peace. Here's the secret. You can only give the peace of God when you've received the peace of God. You can only give the peace of God when you understand what it is to have the peace of God in your life. Christ is the Prince of Peace, and you are the carriers of light, love, and peace. Grab hold of Christ, brothers and sisters, that he may come to all places of your life. He may come to all places of your life. This week, God is still shaking things up and will continue to shake things up and will continue to do so as he draws us forward in community. Haggai's call to the few was, let's rebuild this place. And as others want to join in, they will, and they did. And they did. You know, may this be a week of renewal for you. May it be a week of glorious renewal. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we pray for all who are engaging this service today online, that their spirits would be lifted, their hearts strengthened. They'd be encouraged to see that they might be old, or they might be weak, or they might be young in the faith, but their gifts are all needed for building up the church of tomorrow. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that comes to each one of us. Bless us now in Jesus' name.